Topic 90. Second Initiation. Baptism. 1. Once the second initiation is taken, the progress will be rapid, the third and fourth following probably in the same life or the succeeding. The second initiation forms the crisis in the control of the astral body. Just as at the first initiation, the control of the dense physical has been demonstrated, so here the control of the astral is similarly demonstrated. The sacrifice and death of desire has been the goal of endeavor. Desire itself has been dominated by the ego, and only that is longed for which is for the good of the whole, and in the line of the will of the ego and of the master. The astral element is controlled, the emotional body becomes pure and limpid, and the lower nature is rapidly dying. At this time, the ego grips afresh the two lower vehicles and bends them to his will. The aspiration and longing to serve, love, and progress become so strong that rapid development is usually to be seen. This accounts for the fact that this initiation and the third frequently, though not invariably, follow each other in one single life. At this period of the world's history, such stimulus has been given to evolution that aspiring souls, sensing the dire and crying need of humanity, are sacrificing all in order to meet that need. Again, we must not make the mistake of thinking that all this follows in the same invariable consecutive steps and stages. Much is done in simultaneous unison, for the labor to control is slow and hard, but in the interim between the first three initiations, some definite point in the evolution of each of the three lower vehicles has to be attained and held before the further expansion of the channel can be safely permitted. Many of us are working on all the three bodies now as we tread the probationary path. From Initiation, Human and Solar, pages 84 through 85. 2. The second initiation marks the crisis of the control of the astral body. From A Treatise on White Magic, page 353. 3. In order to take the second initiation, the disciple must demonstrate emotional control. He realizes also that he must have some knowledge of those spiritual energies which will dissipate glamour, plus an understanding of the technique whereby illumination from the mind, as the transmitting agent of the light of the soul, can dispel these glamours and thus clarify the atmosphere in the technical sense. I might emphasize that as yet no initiate demonstrates complete control during the intermediate period between any initiation and the next higher initiation. The intermediate period is regarded as a cycle of perfecting. That which is being left behind and subordinated to the higher realization is slowly dominated by energies which are to be released into the consciousness of the initiate at the initiation for which he is being prepared. This interim period is always one of great difficulty. The initiatory process between the first and second initiations is for many the worst time of distress, difficulty, realization of problems, and the constant effort to clear himself, as it is occultly called, to which the disciple is at any time subjected. The phrase stating that the objective of the initiate is to clear himself is perhaps the most arresting and illuminating of all possible definitions of the task to be undertaken. The storm aroused by his emotional nature, the dark clouds and mists in which he constantly walks, and which he has created throughout the entire cycle of incarnated living, have all to be cleared away in order that the initiate can say that for him the astral plane no longer exists, and that all that remains of that ancient and potent aspect of his being is aspiration, a sensitive response to all forms of divine life, and a form through which the lowest aspect of divine love, goodwill, can flow without impediment. It should be remembered that the masses of men can and will take the first initiation, but that a very large group of aspirants, far larger than is realized, will pass through the experience of the second initiation, that of the purifying baptism. From a treatise on the seven rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, pages 577 through 579. 4. Members of the new group of world servers should watch with care for all those who show signs of having passed through the birth experience and should help them toward a greater maturity. They should assume that all those who truly love their fellow men, who are interested in the esoteric teaching, and who seek to discipline themselves in order to attain greater beauty of life, are initiate and have undergone the first initiation. When they discover those who are seeking mental polarization and who evidence a desire and aspiration to think and to know, coupled with the distinguishing marks of those who have taken the first initiation, they can, in all probability, safely assume that such people have taken the second initiation or are on the verge of so doing. Their duty will then be clear. It is by this close observation on the part of the world servers that the ranks of the new group are filled. Today, the opportunity and the stimulation are so great that all servers must keep alert, developing in themselves the ability to register the quality for which search must be made, and giving the help and guidance which will weld into one cooperative band those disciples and initiates who should prepare the way for the Christ. From a treatise on the seven rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 667. 5. This second initiation, as now undergone, is to some extent one of the most difficult. It involves purification, but it is purification by fire, symbolically understood. The occult application of fire to water produces certain most serious and devastating results. The water, under the action of fire, is resolved into steam, and the initiate is immersed in the fogs and miasmas, the glamours and the mists thus caused. Out of this fog and out of the glamours, the initiate must emerge. Out of the present fog of human affairs, humanity will also emerge eventually. From a treatise on the seven rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 675. 6. What is the basic goal of the initiate who has taken the second initiation? What, therefore, lies ahead of the initiate who has entered the purifying water, or rather fire? To what is he pledged? At the close of the initiatory process, certain energies and divine aspects should be recognized by him as now playing a part in his thinking and his purposes, energies which heretofore, even if present, were quiescent and not controlling. Before him lies the third initiation of the Transfiguration. Facing him is a great transition from an emotional, aspirational focus to an intelligent, thinking focus. He has, theoretically at least, cast off the control of the astral body and nature. Much still remains to be done. Old desires, ancient astral reactions, and habitual emotions are still powerful, but he has developed a new attitude to them and a new perspective to the astral body. Water, fire, steam, glamour, delusion, misinterpretation, and emotional continuity still mean something specific and undesirable to him. He is now negative to their appeal and positive to the higher demanding focus. That which he now loves and longs for, desires and plans for, lies in another and higher dimension. He has, through his willingness to pass through the second initiation, struck the first blow to his innate selfishness, and has demonstrated his determination to think in wider and more inclusive terms. The group begins to mean more to him than himself. At the second initiation, he is granted a vision of a higher focus, and his place in the larger whole begins slowly to reveal itself. a new creativity and a new focus become his immediate goals, and for him, life can never again be the same. The old physical attitudes and desires may still at times assume control. Selfishness may continue to play a potent part in his life expression, but underlying these and subordinating them will be found a deep dissatisfaction about things as they are, and an agonizing realization of failure. It is at this point that the disciple begins to learn the uses of failure and to know certain fundamental distinctions between that which is natural and objective and that which is supernatural and subjective. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, pages 677 through 678. 7. The three keynotes for the second initiation are dedication, glamour, devotion. Dedication, resulting in glamour, which is dissipated by devotion. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, pages 682 through 683. 8. The longest period between initiations is that to be found between the first and the second initiations. This is a truth which must be faced, but it should also be remembered that it is by no means the hardest period. The hardest period for the sensitive feeling aspirant is to be found between the second and the third initiations. It is a period of intense suffering, of the penalty of applying factors of glamour and illusion, of pronounced involvement in situations which, for a long time, remain unclarified, and of a steady moving forward as best the beleaguered aspirant can, under the influence of right direction and spiritual determination. This he has usually to do in the dark, working under the action of the logical and understanding mind, but seldom under the influence of inspiration. Nevertheless, the good work goes on. The emotions are brought under control, and necessarily the factor of the mind assumes an increasingly right importance. Light, flickering and as yet uncertain and unpredictable, pours occasionally in from the soul via the mind, adding frequently to the complications, but producing eventually the needed control which will lead to and result in freedom. Ponder on these things. Freedom is the keynote of the individual who is facing the second initiation and its aftermath, preparation for the third initiation. Freedom is the keynote for the world disciple today, and it is freedom to live, freedom to think, and freedom to know and plan, which humanity demands at this time. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, pages 683 through 684. 9. Many, many long lives can elapse between the first initiation and the second. Long, long interludes of silent and almost unapparent growth. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, page 94. 10. The second initiation is a profoundly difficult one to take. For those upon the first or second rays of aspect, it is probably the most difficult of them all. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, page 525.